Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and I am so pleased to have you with us today. We are awaiting our guest today. His name is Dr. Dolev Gilmore. He is calling us from overseas, so it will probably be a few minutes until we'll be able to connect that call, and hopefully that call will go through. So today we're going to be talking about vitamins. You know, those little bottles that are on the counter in the drugstore, in the grocery store, and everyone says, oh my goodness, you know, we don't need them, we do need them. What can we say? You know, all of these vitamins are here, and I don't know what to take and how to take them. So today, my guest, Dr. Dolev Gilmore, is going to be talking to us about that. He has written a book that's called Free the Vitamins. But I will tell you about vitamins. Dr. Gilmore, thank you so much for joining with us. Thank you so much. Great, thank you. We were just getting started, and I was
enjoying the miracles of modern communication.
Absolutely, right? So, Dr. Gilmore, we were pleased to have you with us to talk about vitamins today. I know that is your specialty, and to talk about orthomolecular and what that even would mean in nutrition, and even about vitamins. I mean, there's so much in the media these days, and you look at it and you say, I don't know what to do. Oh, well, they said don't, so I won't for today. And tomorrow they do, they say yes for today. And people get so confused that I think that they start to take what the media is saying or their next-door neighbor in that hype, and they don't really even know. And who's in charge of their health anyway, right?
Right. Yeah, it's hard to sort through the truth in a lot of things. A lot of what people know to be true isn't.
Right.
I think it was Stephen Hawking that said, it's not what you don't know that's dangerous, but it's
right.
what you think you know but ain't so.
Absolutely.
It was Mark Twain, I don't know.
Well, you know, there's so much talk about it, and we really don't even know sometimes what vitamins are. You know, I am the biggest proponent. People say, oh, I saw it on Facebook that broccoli kills cancer. So I found it in my TV dinner, and I put it in the microwave, so I've got my broccoli for today. And you know, that is such a profound misuse of the words. I mean, I don't even know how to even say that. That's so far on the other world of illusion that it's not even a reality anymore. You know, people don't even understand the concept. So I'm glad you were able to join us today to help us with this. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you wrote this book?
All right, I've been, after many years of being an organic farmer, at the age of 48, started to study natural medicine, and that was about 15 years ago. I studied various things, nutrition, shiatsu, Bach flowers, aromatherapy, reflexology. And somewhere along the line, I had a teacher for a course called orthomolecular nutrition, which is the use of natural substances. Not only natural substances, because plants are also natural substances, but here we're talking about things that are already in the human body and participate in all the chemical reactions in the body. That starts with water and all the way through vitamins and minerals and amino acids and fatty acids and light. So that's what orthomolecular covers. It's very rational to me because you're talking about things that the body already is using, and you're just varying the concentrations by taking supplements.
And there's so much hype about it now because we start to pin ourselves on the belief that whatever media says is golden. And, of course, media is a an absolute expert at deriving a statement out of a huge study and declaring it as the truth. And we believe the media to be the truth. And I think that has really been misconstrued about vitamins in the past few months. Don't you think so?
You know, from time to time, it astounds me. From time to time, a study comes out, blasted every headline from the New York Times to the BBC, all the way down to the local little newspapers in all kinds of foreign languages. Now,
right.
And the study, when you look at the study, like you probably know studies have been, because they showed, well, taking vitamins could actually, you know, increase your chance of dying and things like that.
Yeah.
And they say it's huge studies of 90,000 or 100,000 people, and that's supposed to make it very strong. And people are fooled because it's not easy to – it's a whole thing to learn how to understand studies. I look at the study and I see, well, they checked 30 different parameters. And they, when they find what's called statistical significance, which means that the result is 95% likely to be correct and not accident, so then that's the kind of statistic that they use to say that the vitamins aren't good. Well, if you check 30 things, one or two of them are going to be statistically significant by accident. And the mm-hmm. fact that there's a large study, and we won't get into the whole thing about statistics, but the fact that there's so many people in the study makes it that very small differences could become statistically significant. It might not mean anything to anybody in the clinic, you know, as far as their health is concerned. But then, and what's really astounding about this, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of studies showing positive results with vitamins, and you never heard about them, hear about them. The needle in the
right.
haystack, which shows something negative, is blasted over the whole world. Now, I'm a confirmed conspiracy theorist. You know, I believe in conspiracy. You know, in
right.
order to get a study into the headlines all over the world, there has to be press releases put out.
Yeah.
You know, the people in the newspapers aren't sitting there in the public library of medicine looking for the studies. Somebody has to put this out, and this is blasted to every newspaper in the world. That costs a lot of money. And then these results are published. And
right.
twisted, by the way. And
yes.
specific things are chosen, and adjustments are made, statistical adjustments. It's just astounding. I've written articles about this, unfortunately, in Hebrew, not in English. But, you know, it takes somebody intentionally blasting these headlines around the world to make people not want to use vitamins, and it's astounding.
Well, I think the concept of, if there's a study out there where something is helping maybe 50 to 75% of the people, but they say, oh, no, we have to have 99% or 100% is crazy. But then you look at another study that says, well, one child died, you know, and then they're just, that's everywhere because, oh, you don't want it to be your one child, you know. And it takes it from so many different ends that people don't really pay attention. They just say, oh, well, that one didn't work because it was only 50 or 75, and this, oh, it killed my child, so I'm not going to do that. So there's such a gradient of the results of studies that people don't know how to do studies, and probably the people shouldn't. I guess we could all blame that on media and Internet because that's the way it is. But then you look at vitamins. In your book, you talk about the RDA, which it would be great if you could explain that a little bit to us, because my thought on that is if there's 10 women in a room, two of them are screaming at their kids, the other two are yelling at their husbands, the other two are sitting there sipping wine, tell me which one has now depleted all their vitamin C, and the answer is every single one of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to say that we're going to not give it to them because they look like they're healthy, you know? And that concept of that and the RDA is just something that, you know, I always say to people, you put it on the roll of toilet paper in the bathroom, you know, it just doesn't make any sense anymore. It's totally nonsensical. It has no value, right?
Yeah, look, the RDAs were, that's a major part of the series of vitamins. The purpose of the book is to examine the underlying paradigms about vitamins. Paradigm meaning
right.
the basic understanding. And the RDAs represent the common understanding of vitamins. They were established, I forgot, maybe 50, 60 years ago. I think about 50 years ago the first RDAs were established. The idea was to provide a basic guideline to avoid the specific deficiency diseases for which the vitamins were originally discovered, like scurvy. Vitamin C,
right.
scurvy, cure scurvy. It's a miracle cure for scurvy. A horrible disease. Imagine like sailors just lying on the floor of the ship, rotting away from the inside with internal bleeding. Their teeth are falling out. Their gums are soft. And then somebody comes along and gives them an orange each day, and within a few days they're better. You know, and that is a miracle
uh-huh.
cure. And beriberi, which is a vitamin B1 deficiency, and rickets, which is a vitamin D deficiency, and pellagra, which is a vitamin B3 deficiency. These vitamins were discovered as miracle cures for a specific disease. They found, well, how much do you need to avoid this disease or cure it? And it's very, very small amounts. They set a safety margin, doubling it or tripling it, and set that as the RDA. Now, that's where basically the world is still stuck. And not only
mm-hmm.
that, but it was never, even the committees that in the books about the RDAs, and now it's called the DRIs, dietary reference intakes, they've been a little bit updated, they're not improved. Even the committees stated clearly that these are only for general population. They're not for treatment of individuals. And yet today, not only are they used for treatment and warnings, there's warnings don't take more than the RDA. And they're never meant to be optimal intakes. Today they're considered optimal. Yeah.
Well, what I also think, too, is that when those – actually, it's been about 60 years now. We forgot we're in the year 2014.
Right.
But it was post-poverty time. You know, those people did not always have the foods, and they got used to not having certain food groups in their diet. I mean, I can remember in the 50s living in Pennsylvania, and we thought it was the greatest thing to get an orange – you know, in our stocking, because it came all the way from Florida, and it was great vitamin C, you know. And
right.
that was definitely, you know, when people started to have to look at broad, you know, being able to take care of yourself, and maybe I need more vitamins and stuff. Maybe I need more calcium and things like that, because, you know, after the Depression, people had terrible teeth. People, you know, were just learning how to start taking care of themselves again. They were learning what they could start to do to improve their health. So really, I think that's where that evolution came forth. But now, heck, we're at a generation of, you know, we've got to bleach our teeth every single day and make sure you've got, you know, the plastic surgeon on call, and we're doing good with all these superfoods. So we've come a great distance around, but we just haven't changed the basics.
Well, there's actually two, I call it the two faces of malnutrition. There's malnutrition of the poor, and that's what went on during the Depression, when there was hard to even get the basic protein and fats and carbohydrates
right.
you need to build your body. And then today there's malnutrition of the wealthy because
yeah.
of the deteriorating quality of the food supply. Everyone has vitamin deficiencies and mineral deficiencies, and this is clear in the Department of Agriculture data and all the official sources. They'll talk about how, like, I don't remember the statistics, you know, 50% or 70% of the people aren't even getting the RDA of magnesium.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet, on the other hand, people will tell you, like the Dietetics Association and the doctors will tell you, well, today there aren't really nutritional deficiencies because we have enough food. Well, we have enough calories, but we don't have enough of the micronutrients,
right,
the minerals. And that's the basis of, one of the bases of modern disease.
And I think so, too, that we may also take that another step further, is that we look at people and we say we are also, our diet is of amounts. In other words, of volume. We're not really a diet of nutrition. So, I mean, I live here in the Deep South. I can tell you, sure as I'm sitting here, if I wrote down the diet of 10 people sitting next to me, not one of them can even come close to having any basic vitamins in there. Everything is brown or white. Nothing is red, green, or orange. Not one thing. And I mean, there was a local Chinese restaurant, and it says, we're now healthy. We use vegetable oil. And I went, you got to be kidding me. They honestly believe that vegetable oil is made from vegetables, so it's good to come and get our Chinese food.
From vegetable material, namely seeds, which have had everything taken out, 20 different processes,
yeah,
and bleaching and cleaning it out from everything so that it lasts on the shelf. It's not food, so it lasts. Food is supposed to deteriorate. Yeah.
But can you talk to us about the idea of a healthy individual? I don't believe anyone's healthy anymore, because if you took every single person and you said, did you yell today, then you're stressed, yes, then you're not healthy in the medical terms, because you've just depleted, or you now have a, quote, disease we have to treat, right?
Do you have unbounded energy that lets you do everything you want to do in life, and you don't have any uncomfortable places in your body or pain, and et cetera? Are you happy?
Right.
That's how.
And even can that be, if you're basing your vitamins upon a, quote, healthy individual, there really aren't any. And still, TV today, there's a very popular show here, and it said, the doctor on there says, oh, no, we're going to take the RDA, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, let's stop that. So let's talk a little bit about some vitamins and what your beliefs on them are. I mean, with vitamin C, you talked about in the book how the studies on vitamin C are a lot lower than vitamin D, because vitamin D now has really gotten to be the big, let's tote that for
right,
a while.
Right. Vitamin C is one of the most researched molecules ever. But in the last 10 years, vitamin D has become very popular in research. And, of course, every vitamin, one of the definitions is that you can't live without it. What should we start with, vitamin C or vitamin D?
Either. Go ahead.
Okay. Vitamin C has always been one of my favorites, because it's just an incredible substance. It's the one that, the story of vitamin C is very interesting, is that human beings do not make vitamin C in their livers, and almost every other mammal does. Just us and guinea pigs and we don't make vitamin C and the monkey family. So we need it from external sources. Now, animals make it in like a 70 kilos of goat. They'll make like 10 or 12 grams, 10 or 12,000 milligrams in their livers every day. And when they're stressed, the amount goes up. Now, human beings, we're supposed to get along with the RDA of 90 milligrams. And my teacher of orthomolecular nutrition, this is one moment I'll never forget. He paced back and forth in front of the class, and he goes, the RDA of vitamin C, I think it was 60 milligrams, he goes, 60 milligrams is certainly enough for a cockroach.
Yeah. Incredible, isn't it?
I have 17 books on vitamin C. 17 mm-hmm. books. I once added it up. They include about 5,000 research studies, and in some of the books they say, well, this research study is just representative of another couple dozen studies. So there's thousands and thousands and thousands of studies about it, and it's so misunderstood. They warn you not to take more than 1,000 milligrams, because it could cause kidney stones. And that's not true. All the research shows there's a rationale behind it, because one of the breakdown products of vitamin C is called oxalate, and when oxalate binds to calcium, it makes kidney stones. So that's the whole thing. It's never supported that it actually does cause kidney stones. In fact, there's several studies that have been done very top-rate studies have been done that show that there's no correlation even. There's just no connection. In fact, some studies show that it prevents kidney stones. But that's a myth that everybody knows. Like, you know, when I give a talk before an audience and I talk about vitamin C, and then I ask the questions and the hands go up, I say, I know what the question is. What about kidney stones? You know, and all the hands go down. Yes, that's what it is. So I put on the screen, it's all prepared, right? I put on the screen a picture of a unicorn. And I says, does anybody know what this is? Everybody knows what it is. Everybody knows what a unicorn is. Has anybody ever seen one? Nobody's ever seen one. Does anybody know anybody that's seen one? Of course not. That's the same thing with kidney stones. Everybody knows they exist, that vitamin C causes kidney stones, but nobody's ever seen one. And these are the myths that are propagated. And so many people say it. Like, you could find 1,000 people saying that vitamin C causes kidney stones, but they all learned it from 100 people, and they all learned it from 10 people, and those 10 people learned it from one person who made a mistake. And it goes like a computer virus all over the world. And on the other hand, there's people like Dr. Robert Cathcart. He died a few years ago. He was in California. He treated people with megadoses of vitamin C for 30 years, thousands and thousands of patients, and they were cured of every viral disease. If you take enough vitamin C, you will not get the common cold. It prevents heart disease. There's 3 books on my shelf here about how vitamin C prevents heart disease. It prevents the cracking of the arteries, which then cholesterol comes along and plugs up so that the artery doesn't split open. That's what cholesterol does. They call it the bad cholesterol. I wrote an article called slander, like a letter from LDL cholesterol. They're slandering me, you know, because the cholesterol is coming and saving our lives by sealing up the cracks in our arteries that vitamin C deficiency causes. So there's 2 books about this, and they trace the research back. It's completely convincing. And it has so many roles in the body that anybody that takes a few grams a day of vitamin C is going to be a lot healthier, plain and simple. Just in my small practice and family and friends, there's dozens of people that don't get sick anymore in the winter.
Yeah. Well, you know, I myself had gotten kidney stones in the past, and I've always been taking rather large doses of vitamin C, and the doctor would be scolding me, you know, traditional medicine that way, and I kind of would just not believe it. But then about 20, maybe 30 years ago, it came along the paradigm that, oh, now kidney stones are caused by inflammation and a bacteria and so on and so forth.
Right, the stone
but then
goes
if you
around the bacteria, yeah.
Right. But then if you still look at it, vitamin C is still going for inflammation. And now let's look at the current thought on heart disease and other diseases, that they're basically caused by inflammation. The cover of the magazines that say, you know, inflammation is the number one silent killer. Well,
yeah.
You know, if inflammation... is that not potentially a deficit? So if you have a deficit of something, something else is saying, I'm not happy in your body, I'm missing something, something isn't here that is normally here. So is that not what we're saying?
Definitely, inflammation is deficit of an imbalance. Also between omega-6 and omega-3. Inflammation is a very, very deep problem, and our modern lifestyle causes it.
You know, and it's so different that, you know, people want to blame it, but they still want to tag the word inflammation on it because it sounds like a disease that they can fix instead of saying maybe you just need some omegas or maybe you need some vitamin C, right? They don't want to go towards a simple way. They want to still have that disease paradigm to scare people.
Yeah, or, you know, what sounds inflammatory is steroids. So
right.
Steroids now.
Yeah, which will be the next cure. So let's talk about vitamin D. I mean, that is such, you know, with the revelation of, oh, you're going to get skin cancer, now we need all of these sunscreens. People are getting sick from the sunscreens now. And, you know, it's like, oh, my word, you know, what kind of black hole have we created for ourselves, you know, talking about vitamins
yeah.
in the first place?
Yeah, we're afraid of the sun.
All right.
You know, maybe it's partially justified, but very important to get sunshine, and you know, I think it's important not to get sunburned, but if you get a little bit you know, pink, and then you know, then use the sunscreen or get out of the sun, you're okay. Because vitamin D is actually not a vitamin; it's actually a hormone. It shows the definition of a hormone that's produced in an organ and then goes into the bloodstream and affects receptors in distant places in the body. That's the definition of a hormone, and that's what vitamin D is. It's created in the sun, in the skin, when sun hits cholesterol in the skin, forms vitamin D. And they've actually found, like a hormone, it actually affects the genes. They found, in one study, I saw they found 238 genes that vitamin D affects positively. So it's very, very important. I don't even treat, you know, if somebody says they have this problem or that problem, I don't even give vitamin D for a particular problem. I just look at the blood test. I send everybody to get the vitamin D level checked. And you have to get the vitamin D level up to about the middle of the range or a little bit above that. And it's cancer preventative. It prevents breast cancer. It prevents colon cancer. So it's so vital to get that levels up, and it's so simple. It's so cheap. It costs a couple of dollars for a bottle of vitamin D of 5,000 you know, international units. And this is another subject, though. So vitamin D is thought to be the most poisonous vitamin, and it is. You could get vitamin D poisoning if you swallow a whole bottle every day for a month. You'll probably get hypercalcemia, or your calcium will start settling in your soft tissues and stuff. But it's enormous, enormous doses. So you know, the way the thinking goes, okay, it's dangerous, so then don't take more than 2,000. I think the safe upper limit was just raised to 4,000. And in 1999, there was a study by Weiss that recommended that the safe upper limit be raised to 10,000. And the safer upper limit is defined as the limit that has absolutely no side effects whatsoever in almost everybody. So when taken over a long time. But still the warnings aren't to take so much, and so therefore people's vitamin D levels stay lower. So avoid that you know, 1 in a million chance you're going to get hypercalcemia. You're raising your risk of bone loss, of cancer, of diabetes, of heart disease. It affects everything. It affects every system in the body. So that's vital. This is so simple. It is a simple blood test and a simple supplement. And once you get your level up to the middle range or higher, you're fine for a year, at least for half a year, and you go get checked again.
Right. Because testing
know,
is definitely
the weird thing is that they because yeah. it's dangerous. They say okay, then don't take you know more than a little bit of vitamin D, and they go and say, well, vitamins could be dangerous.
Right.
Vitamins could be dangerous. There's the double standard here is absolutely almost infinite, because if you would apply the same standard towards pharmaceutical drugs. You couldn't take any kind of drug in any kind of a therapeutic dose, because they start having side effects at you know, tiny, tiny doses.
Well, I think so, too, the concept that people think that I take vitamin C when it's cold season. I take vitamin D when it's winter. This idea that that's the only time you need those vitamins has pretty much been the bane of the existence of the vitamin industry in the first place in getting out messages, because really, if you put up, I have a chart of biological and chemical reactions in the body, and you look at it and you say, okay, these are the chemical reactions in the body. This is, you know, A plus B will equal C, but it needs certain things to have that equation to go. So if everybody thinks about their basic chemistry, you know, I've got 100,000 equations in front of me, and 100,000 of those might need C and D to actually get those equations to
go. Pretty
awesome,
isn't it?
Right, to activate them. And they're saying, oh, well, that's what's going on. I said, no, this is just the monkeys in the – this is like the elephants in the zoo. There are other equations that are going on in your body, as simple all the way down to the cell, and we couldn't even write enough equations on the walls of these rooms in this huge hospital to be able to equate to how many different things are going on in your body. So if you're thinking, I'm going to eat one orange today and I'm good to go, and you're going to go yell at your kids, and you're going to, you know, just be really irritated for about an hour, where do you think that orange went? And all these other processes are saying, where are you, where are you, where are you? And you're not there. It doesn't go. It's sort of like the idea of we can mix up flour and water in a glass jar, and no matter how much flour and water we put in there, we're not going to get gravy until we put it with heat. You know, you have to have these things that go. So if we think of vitamins as these things that have to make it go, it's not going to happen. And yet we still are waiting for the end results. I always think of it, you know, when people say I have cancer and, oh, I just got cancer. Okay, fine. You know, I know you were at the doctor the last 6 months and you were healthy, and now 6 months ago, now you're in stage four cancer. Really? I don't think so. You know, so really our idea of what are vitamins is really these are things that have to make things go. If we don't keep giving these go things, we're done eventually.
The complexity of the human body is actually used as an argument why not to take vitamin supplements, because
right,
there's a balance involved and there's so many different things involved. So that's where the idea of, yeah, okay, well, first you have to eat right. Because if you get, like, a really good variety of fruits and vegetables, you're going to get all those thousands of things needed. But still, vitamin supplementation, according to orthomolecular system, is very important, especially for treatment. Because you spend years developing a vitamin deficiency. Like, you know, cancer is not something, like you said, it's not something that appears overnight. You've worked on it. It's been worked on for a long time. A long time in balance in the body before that happens. And all these deficiencies are what's causing it. And so you first need to improve food as well as possible, but in the modern world it's impossible to really get everything you need. So some vitamins in you. Vitamin C should be taken by everybody every day. Every day of their life, and they'll be healthy. Other things, you know, maybe it's okay to take vitamin D seasonally as long as you get your level up, and then it's enough to last through the summer. Vitamin C has to be taken every day.
Well, and the idea, too, now, we have people who are doing all these green drinks, you know. That's great to increase a lot of your vitamins, but then they're also leaving out maybe meats or protein, and they're not even realizing it. And we'll be seeing deficiencies down the road eventually with those people who aren't getting what they needed in those. Because sometimes it's taking an idea to extreme, don't you think?
Yeah. It's a very good thing to do to juice. I'm not big on vegetarianism because I don't think that vegetarians really get everything they need.
Right.
You have to be careful. You have to do it right. A vegetarian has to do it right. And if there's particularly, and I'd like the listeners to take note of this, that vitamin B12, which, you know, everybody knows you could develop a vitamin B12 deficiency in vegetarianism, so most vegetarians watch out for it. But vitamin B12 is another thing that's absolutely vital to get it checked. It's just like vitamin D. It's so simple to get it checked, and it's so simple to fix. And it's so dangerous to have a low level. And, you know, some vegetarians are philosophically connected to the idea that you could get everything from a vegetarian diet, and so they won't take a B12 supplement. And that could cause, I mean, you know, especially for a pregnant mother that's a vegetarian, it's criminal not to be taking a B12 or at least watching the level and making sure that it doesn't get too low.
And you know, B12 is so incredibly important because, I mean, with your red blood cells, I mean, if you start getting large red blood cells because of a deficiency, you start ending up with all kinds of clotting issues and everything else and things you just don't need. You know, and how many people really know? I mean, I think they dabble. The culture now is, you know, I'm going to have my my coffee for the morning, and then I'm going to have my greens or whatever or fruit thing for lunch, and then you'll eat dinner. And, you know, I think we're probably creating some of our own issues. So can you tell us a little bit about how you would think, how you would see with clients is about with the orthomolecular basis, how do you decide what you need, what you don't need, and how do you see that fit in with the, people's diseases and treatments right now? Because we all know the standard, you go to the doctor. I'll tell you this one real quick. This woman goes to the ER. She says, I have terrible pains in my chest. The ER runs a strip. They put on the electrodes. They put her in a room, take her blood, and then they come back 4 hours later, because we all know 4 hours and 15 minutes later means that the hospital can bill for you then, and says, oh, you just have anxiety, see you later, and let her go. And what service did that even prove? You know, because really there was no talking to this person, potential heart disease, potential something else. And how does medicine even helping itself right now? You go to the doctor and you get the same situation. So I know you have ways in your books that you talk about, you know, that paradigm changing.
Okay. I'm still stuck though, and I have to say a couple more things about vitamin B12 since it's so vital.
Sure.
Just because it's in the range, and just because the MCV, which is the blood cell size, hasn't gotten big yet, it doesn't mean you're okay with the B12. There was an excellent book that came out a couple of years ago called "Could It Be B12?" And the conclusion of the book is that the range is incorrect. You know, they set a range between, well, it varies between every lab. Mm-hmm. But let's say between 200 and 900, let's say, for example.
Right.
And so if you have a 300, you think you're okay, but it should really be about 600. In fact, the lower part of the range should be about 500 or 600, and the upper should be like 2,000. And you know, because they said there's no side effects from taking too much B12, that, you know, almost non-existent. And setting a low upper limit scares people. They get up towards that, they think they're getting too much. So it's extremely, extremely important. Every single human being should go once a year, get his B12 level checked, and take a supplement. And if they're too low, they should even get shots. Okay, back to what you wanted to talk about.
So we were talking about an office visit.
Right. Everybody has different diagnostic tools. In Israel, I'm a bit limited because there aren't like the variety of lab tests that are available in the United States. And the main thing, the most important thing is questioning the person and asking 100 questions about all the different aspects of the lifestyle. Also on their emotional health and all this. And this is where the modern doctor has a very big disadvantage, because he's got 10, 15 minutes with the patient, and that's all. And I think it's very important to develop a real personal connection to the person and hear what's going on with them. And, That's the main part of my diagnosis. Of course, I look at blood tests, and there's other things. You know, people do tongue diagnosis or iridology. There's all kinds of different diagnostic tools, but really, people will usually tell you what their problem is. And the way I'll make a protocol for a disease, for a long time, I didn't treat anybody with Parkinson's. And my father had Parkinson's, and he died before I even got into natural medicine. And when my cousin was diagnosed, so then I said, okay, I better look into this. And so that became like my treatment paradigm of orthomolecular, which, you know, everybody does it in their own way. I sort of developed a little like this. First, you have to study everything you could about the disease, the pathology, and how everything that the medical world knows about it, and you learn about how the medical world treats it. And then you look into the research, and I found all kinds of very interesting things specifically about Parkinson's disease. They really know a lot about the process where the dopamine cells start dying off. They found that it's an oxidation problem, and so you give antioxidants, and you find out what's going on. Even the drugs, you learn there's a law called Pfeiffer's Law, named after a great physician named Carl Pfeiffer, who said that if you know how a medicine is working, you could substitute natural substances that'll do the same thing. It's not true in all cases, and the orthomolecular substances, the vitamins and minerals, don't work as powerfully, like they won't grab an enzyme as powerfully as the medicines. But a medicine can't work unless there's a natural place in the cell, usually in the cell membrane, for it to grab onto. And it gets involved in some kind of biochemical process. Now, you could make that biochemical process work with the natural substances that are involved in it. That's one of the very basic principles of orthomolecular. So you could take any disease and try to understand what's going on, and then give the substances that are involved in those processes to improve the processes, along, of course, with general lifestyle factors.
And I think so many times people think that you go to the doctor and you, quote, report what is making you uncomfortable. The doctor says, well, I assume, therefore I will test for this. And then, well, the test proves that this is what we are going to do, and that's the end of the story. And there's so many times which holds the truth to how you said about treating a patient is because I can tell you 98% of every elderly person that comes into the doctors is not coming there for medical treatment. They're coming there to feel better emotionally most of the time. They need someone to talk to. They need someone to listen to them. They need someone to say they're going to be okay and they're not going to die tomorrow. That's what they're looking for. And by looking for that, and they're sometimes getting, you're depressed, or, oh, you're bothering me, or whatever, by the judgment of the physician. And how that ends up being putting us in a paradigm of, I'm not really getting what I need here, you know?
I have great respect for doctors, but talking to people and like that is really, in general, not part of the job description.
Right. And that is the truth, and, you know, and how hard that is to be able to do, because there really is no time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just definitely...
I've had patients I sit with for 3 hours.
Yes, so do I.
And it's great.
Yep, and that's how we flow, don't we?
Yeah, that's why we're not getting burnout, right? That's why we love what we're doing and we're fascinated by it, and we're going to do it until we're 95 years old, and then we'll find a different profession, maybe.
That's right. And also, you know, so many times, I'm sure you've had it too, where people would come to us when the physicians say, I can no longer help you, because they're confused and they don't know what to do. And, you know, I find so many of those patients, too, are the ones that, as you've said, with the vitamins, they are, a lot of them are just deficient in running on empty or, you know, driving that car that's got 100,000 miles on it and it just can't go anymore. And it's time to say, you know, let's wash the screen and start over. Have you found that at all with yours?
Sure. You know, it's actually, in a way, it's very relaxing to have somebody come that has given up on the medical world, and the medical world has given up on them. Because there's no more competition. There's no more worry that they're going to go tell the doctor what I gave them, and then they're going to come back.
Right.
And a guy threatened to sue me because I gave him 4,000 IU of vitamin D. You know, it's crazy. And, so it's actually very relaxing. And even a person that is you know, dying of cancer. I visited about a half a year ago. I visited a clinic in Germany that does alternative treatments for cancer, and we became very close friends with one of the doctors there. He said, "Look, you know, a lot of these people you see here are going to be dead a year from now, but I've realized that, and I've become humble. And I see my job not as curing people, but as helping them to heal. And helping to heal is heal their life, help a person to heal their life. We're all going to die. And healing the life is, you know, I always ask cancer patients in the very first meeting, one of the first things I ask them is, what benefits have you gotten from this disease? And all invariably, person will say, listen, I don't want to die. I have three kids and I'm 40 years old, but it's changed my life. I guess it's a good thing that it happened because it's changed my life. Mm-hmm. I've healed my relationships. I've gotten to be more deep and more real. And, you know, as a therapist, you can't do anything more for a person to help them heal their life.
And that is exactly the only purpose, is it not correct? I mean, that's what we're all looking for, right?
That's right.
Well, you know, and sometimes, too, I think if we keep running scared at the concept that, you know, this little vitamin's going to kill me, hey, the radio said so, or, oh, I don't want to waste my money on that, let me go buy another pair of shoes, maybe a lot of times when these people have these grave diseases is that they learn now it's time for them to start taking care of themselves. We all know now that there is a war on the hospice situation where they are deciding with the insurance, once you sign in with hospice, you only get 6 months of hospice care under insurance. So, but they're finding a lot of these people are having miracle recoveries in that 6 months. Maybe that miracle recovery is that they're healing themselves from the inside out. Maybe the recovery is that now they're taking care of themselves, or maybe that now that they're starting to use all these alternative therapies that they didn't before because they were so hooked into, you know, whatever was going to save them. And all these miracles are now turning around. These people are walking out of hospices, and that is really confounding, I think, the medical community. And I'm sure you've probably heard about that.
Sure.
You know, and if we just give it vitamins, maybe our body is just starting to work, right? I mean, how many people are running day to day and they don't even eat? You know?
It's really wonderful what natural medicine as a broad field could do for people. You know, the dependency on doctors is very unfortunate because we have to be dependent on ourselves. And, you know, doctors have a role. They're tremendous at saving lives. But they're not very good at you know, getting people healthy. That's not their job. You know, I think it's very unfortunate that, you know, a doctor who knows so much about what he knows about will use that authority and position and knowledge to tell people that, well, they shouldn't take so much vitamin C, which is something they don't know about. I mean, the doctors, you know, people come to me, well, my doctor said this, and I said, yeah, but you have to ask him how many books he read about vitamin C. You know, I had a discussion with, I was hiking last week in the desert and with a group of people, and one woman was a doctor, and she was saying what she thought about vitamins. I said, listen, you know, tell me the truth. How much time have you spent studying it? She said, oh, not very much at all. He said, you know, don't use your expertise if you to expand it beyond what you know. And
yes.
That's a major problem, you know, that the doctor is an authority. But he's an authority in his field. He's not an authority in my field.
Mm-hmm. But I think also the concept, too, is that, you know, here in the South, many times you'll go out and you'll see a doctor who's sitting there having 5 and 6 drinks and, you know, he's having his big whatever kind of dinner. But it's also the type, I mean, we have to remember that physicians are still people. You know, they still die. Mm-hmm. Physicians still die of cancer. Physicians still die of diabetes. They still die of whatever. And to just think that we all just have some different messages and we just need to do the best we can for ourselves is the most important. So by throwing out, oh, I'm not going to do vitamins and I'm not going to take care of myself, maybe that's not the best choice. And I think your book about Free the Vitamins is really important because it says that everybody is an individual. It says the numbers don't worry. It says take these things because they are important. And I think that's the whole basis of our conversation today.
Right. And also, you know, the people should understand also about vitamins that it's important to consult with an expert. You could go into a health food store and they'll sell you lots of vitamins, but you know, it's a field of expertise. So there's people that really know about this stuff, and it's so helpful. I mean, you know, it's so many things like I see everyday studies that if a drug would do what this vitamin does, it would be a blockbuster billion-dollar seller.
Right.
I mean, vitamin D.
Yep.
Anything.
Well, I think if there was something to cure us all, then we would all be robots. By now, we'd all be taking it, and there wouldn't be need for anybody else, you know? So apparently there is individualism in medicine, right?
Definitely. Definitely,
well,
but everybody has to find their own path in life, really, and
right.
that's also the job of a therapist.
Well, Dr.
Dolev,
we have about 5 minutes left. Is there anything else you'd like to add? And if you could tell us about how to find out about your book and your website, that would be wonderful.
Okay, the book, there's a link on the your show page. You can go to the eJunkie website and type in Free the Vitamins. And it's also, if you go into Amazon, it's available. It's not available as a hard copy, only as a Kindle edition. You go into Amazon and type Free the Vitamins, and you'll find it there. My website is dolevgilmore.com, but the website is really, my main website is in Hebrew, unfortunately, but that website, the dolevgilmore.com, is actually talks about my other book, which is my first book, which is Nutrition and Your Child's Soul, which I hope we'll talk about next month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important about nutrition. I mean, we always think about the kids, but then when we think about ourselves as an adult, we forget about it, you know? And
yeah,
nutrition is just exponential as an adult. I mean, how could you forget about it, right?
Right. Yeah, it's called Nutrition in Your Child's Soul, but it's about everybody, really.
Right.
I just, you know, that book was inspired when, you know, sort of in the back of my mind. It's funny, the subtitle of the book is Don Quixote's Heart Cry.
Yeah.
You know, and I have imagery with Don Quixote in there, that because I'm also in that book. I calmed down a little bit since I wrote that book, but that book is about like attacking windmills, you know, attacking the huge buildings of the medical establishment and the pharmaceutical industry and the food industry and all that. So it's written in sort of a light style where, you know, Don Quixote came to me in the morning and woke me up and said, you know. Millions of kids are drugging themselves with Ritalin, and you're sleeping. I said, yeah, but it's only 10 o'clock in the morning. And he says, yeah, but get up and go fight. So I do, you know.
Oh goodness, incredible.
Yeah.
So we will be talking about that book.
It was inspired by a case where very tragic case where a young man was out from a 16-year-old. Kid was out from an institution, and he raped and murdered a girl. And when they asked him, why did you do that? He says, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that made me think, what is going on in his mind?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, it's clear that nutritional things, the nutrition affects the mind, and he's also on psychiatric drugs, 100% sure. And, you know, how could people come to things like that? And I think the world would be so much better off if they would get decent nutrition. Kids eat so much junk today. And how do I expect them to think straight?
You know, it was incredible last night as I was shutting off the television. There was a comment on there that two celebrities don't allow their children to have fast food, and how dare they start giving their child a green diet? And it went, what? I was just like, are you really profoundly kidding me? You know, they were really dissing that the parent was doing something wrong with the child.
Depriving
him. How far we've come.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely incredible. Well, Dr. Gilmore, it has been a pleasure having you with us today. I'm sure, you know, if anything, we've stirred up the circles of speaking about vitamins again. But, you know, people have to make their choices, and eventually they'll come to their own answers, and I think that's the message of the show.
Right. Well, I'd like to invite all the listeners, anybody that wants to contact me and ask questions, you know, find me at the website, has my contact information, or, you know, purchase the free the vitamins. It's only $7 something. And all my contact information is in there, and I'd be happy to, you know, have more connections.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. And, yes, all of your links are
thank
on today's
to
show page if anyone would need more information. It was a real pleasure having you with us.
It was a pleasure talking to you, Jeanette, and I look forward to in the future again.
Great. Thank you so much, and we'll be picking that date for the next book. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So, bye.
So if anyone would like more information about Dr. Gilmore, his information is posted on today's show page. You'll go directly to his website, also to where you can purchase the book. You just click right on there, and you'll go right there. You don't need to worry about putting anything else into your web bar or anything. So it's been a pleasure being with us today, and definitely think about vitamins. They are essential. If there wasn't so much hype about it, about the negative or the positive or whatever, obviously there's something there. And what's there is the importance, because that's the only way your body can function. So please do look into it. Check it out. Check out Dr. Gilmore's book. It's absolutely fabulous. It's a very basic, very, very good read. It has a lot of information. And until tomorrow, thank you so much for being with us today. And, yes, we will have Dr. Gilmore on our show next month with his other book about children. Thank you so much. Thank you.